What's up, baddie bees? I'm Brianna, mom, wife, serial entrepreneur, and host of the Badass Basic Bitch podcast. Each week, I sit down with a seemingly ordinary woman who's doing extraordinary things, and I get to share her story with you. So let's go. Buckle up as we're going to get real and dive into the shit nobody talks about. Welcome to the Baddie Bee Club. Welcome back to another episode of Badass Basic Bitch. On today's episode, we are joined by Kelsey Kenrye, a transformative figure who journeyed from personal struggles to becoming a guiding force for female entrepreneurs and young adults. And today we're going to be exploring her inspiring path to success and her unique approach to empowering others in business and in life. So thank you so much for being with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Always excited when I get to do this.
Before we dive in, why don't we hear a little bit more from you about, you know, who you are and what you do?
Yeah, absolutely. So I am a strategic business coach and thought partner for mom founders and entrepreneurs. So I work primarily with moms of kids of all ages, primarily with service-based businesses. And my unique approach and the way that I do this is I'm very strategic with the changes that we make in the infrastructure to the business and how we're growing and scaling the business or restructuring the business altogether. But I have a very holistic view. And so I'm also looking at the human behind the title. A lot of people can do strategy or they can do tactics, but they aren't considering the effect in the long-term sustainability of those choices. And so I view everything through a long-term lens. So I work with women who are established, who have been in business for many years, who are probably doing really well financially, but they are burnout, they're overwhelmed, they're stressed. They're just tired of their businesses taking away from their quality of life, but they feel like, you know what? This is how I provide for my family. Like, I can't take my foot off the gas. Like, they feel kind of trapped in their own businesses. So we bring back their time freedom and make sure that they have the infrastructure to support the freedom and flexibility that they wanted when they started.
When I was looking at your story, it reminded me of this quote that I love because I resonate with it very near and dear. But it says, if you want to understand the entrepreneur, study the juvenile delinquent. The delinquent is saying with their actions, this sucks, I'm going to do my own thing. Have you heard this before, this quote?
I haven't.
Oh my God. It really resonates with me because I was absolutely a juvenile delinquent. And when I saw your story, I was like, it's so interesting. And maybe we could start there before we dive into like your perception and business stuff and what you do, and maybe bring it back to like your time as a young adult, because you're helping women, you're helping young adults, and there's a reason why. And I think probably because of all the challenges that you face. So maybe give us a little bit more of color behind that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's so much truth, and I really wholeheartedly believe that we go through everything that we go through for a purpose. And so for me, my childhood was rocky. There was a lot of instability, and I, you know, was really searching for a place to belong, you know, and I think that a lot of people as young adults find that belonging in the party scene because it's where you're easily accepted. It's, you know, normalized that alcohol, drinking, drugs, all of the things that go along with that are pretty normalized. Couple that with working in the hospitality industry, which I did. And so I just found myself in this very deep, dark hole. I was making a lot of choices that were obviously stemming from a lack of self-confidence, a lack of self-worth, and not making any sort of productive choices, you know, not moving anything forward in my life, just basically 10 years of the same kind of choices. Those choices ended up putting me in jail 3 different times. And the third time was my rock bottom. That was where I made the choice that I wanted to live. And I think the only reason that I was able to shift in that moment and finally choose a new path, because change is hard and that's a different kind of discomfort and there's a reason for it, which we can get into. But I really attribute being able to change my trajectory with the fact that I took ownership. And there was this moment that I talk about in my book and talk about quite often, honestly, where I met my eyes in the mirror for the first time. And, I'm looking at myself and the mirror is like dirty and gross and foggy and rusted. And I just realized that I continued to put myself back in that place and I could use that and I could feel the shame and the weight of that, or, because I felt both, I could also let that empower me and knowing that I could make a different choice. And so I had to work through the shame of everything that I felt and the continued decisions that I had made, but I also knew that I could make different ones. And so I just started making different choices. And that's where everything just kind of stacked on top of each other. And it was this beautiful evolution of where I am now.
Yeah. So that was your pivotal moment. The third time you got arrested. How old were you?
Let's see. This was in 2010. I'm 36 now. So let's do math.
Oh God, why? Don't do that to me. Why are you doing that?
Matt? I think it'll be 14 years ago in March.
Oh, so you were in your early 20s.
Yeah. Yeah. So I started partying and drinking and doing it really young, like 13, 14. So yeah, it was about 10 years.
And just out of curiosity, is it because your home life was hard or was it just this like intense emotional feeling of like wanting validation or feeling unworthy or not a fitting in or something?
Yeah, all of the above. My parents divorced when I was 2. It was 2 very differently ran households. There was a lot of anger between my parents. There was a lot of things that I saw my parents do and the examples that they were being that I adapted. And so I think it was just the lack of stability. We as people, this is why people love habits and routines and structure, because they feel like safety. And so I think that I was searching for safety. I was searching and there was no structure, no stability. I didn't know whose house I was going to be sleeping at or, who was going to be babysitting me, if anybody. Was I going to be left home with my little brother? Like there was just all these different things that played a role. So yeah, there was the lack of stability and security is something that as a mom of 3 now, that is something that we put at the forefront of what we do. We're rigid. We have structures and routines and we eat dinner at 5:30 every night as a family. We talk about what we're grateful for. My kids go to bed at the same time. Are there like, of course, not on like Christmas and stuff like that. Like we're not psychopaths, but I wanted to provide my kids with what I didn't have.
Yeah, absolutely. I relate to that. And there is this moment in your time where you're like, you have that turning point and you decided, I'm going to choose living versus whatever I'm doing right now. And you find your purpose, essentially. But what were some key realizations or experiences that helped you find the direction of what your purpose was, right? You had your pivot point, but then how did you find to come here and do this?
That's such a good question. I really believe that our purpose is always evolving. I don't believe that we have a singular one. And I think that the way that I continued to find my purpose and continued to evolve was because I kept focusing and listening to myself. I think that as women, especially, we're taught to, be quiet and be small and not be selfish and stay humble. And what I realized in my own healing journey is that I wasn't paying attention at all to myself. I was just suppressing everything. And so I started to think about like, what do I want to do and how do I want to feel? And then what things do I need to be able to do that? And so the first part of my journey was like getting a life coach, getting a therapist. Then I started going to the gym. And so it was just like filling myself with things that were the opposite of what I had felt before, to where it's like, what are all the ways that I can make myself feel good? And I really believe that we can't see our purpose or see who we truly are or our potential if we are not anchored into taking care of our physical and mental well-being.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So you started to essentially invest in yourself.
Yep.
In terms of getting the life coach, therapist, gym, whatever it was. Did you then turn to start a business, or has your business always been this motivational coaching philosophy?
Yeah. So it was, my business has evolved like so naturally over time, which is really cool. When I started going to the gym, I think all of us have experienced something at some point, right? That was so cool and so transformational for us, be that like we went to an amazing restaurant or, you know, something smaller or on a bigger scale. And I felt so good. I had this like weight loss journey of like 50 pounds too, but
wow,
people were watching what I was doing and then started asking me questions. And I was like, I feel really good. I want other people to feel good too. And so it's so funny because I still kind of lead from that place. And so I just started bringing people to the gym with me. And at the time, I think one of the most important shifts for us to make when we are creating change is we have to alter our environment. And so I remember when I got out of jail and I was sitting on my bed and I was in tears, and it was like, you know, the weight of everything really hits you. And I remember being so upset. Of course, I was upset because I had gotten a second DUI. I had my first felony drug charge. It was like, it was heavy charges, but I knew that since I had made the decision to change, I was also going to lose all of my friends. Not that they were actually friends, but I was going to have to change like everything that I was doing. And so changing my environment from that also meant I was in the hospitality industry. I was still bartending. You know, I was completely sober bartending, working till 4 a.m. And I was like, I just can't, this is not aligned. And so I think the more that you focus on yourself, the more you start to see what isn't for you anymore and what you have to let go of. And so that was the last piece of the puzzle. So I went from bartending to personal training. And that's where I was like, I started to feel the effects and how fulfilling it was for me to make people feel good. And then working with women, the conversations that I was having. So it was kind of twofold because I'm personal training in person. And then I did online coaching in 2012. That's when I started as an entrepreneur. And it's like, this is before everybody was an online coach, right? But it was only because I'm from Texas and people were watching my journey and they're like, tell me how to do what you do. So I'm like, how do I even do this? It's like, luckily my husband had an online coach and he's like, you could totally do this. People are doing this. And I'm like, what the hell? So I started coaching people. I went to, you know, I got my personal training certification. I learned about nutrition. I had had my own journey and my own experience, which like I'm a heavy experiential teacher in that like I will try something first before I will tell my clients to do it. And so, yeah, it was just this natural evolution of like, okay, I'm in fitness. I want to make people feel good. I'm talking to all these women. Everything that we're talking about is not health related. It's all self-worth. It's confidence. It's, we're having a different level of conversation. So then I was like, what is this? And then I got a life coaching certification before everybody was a life coach, because I thought that that's what I was supposed to do, right? Check that box. And then at that point, I had this huge roster of clients. I had built this extremely successful business. I was competing in figure. I was competing in powerlifting. And people were like, how have you built this? And I'm like, telling people about business. So then it just naturally evolved. And I was like, I love this blend of being able to tell people how to do things, like the strategy, the tactics, the things that need to change, along with that view of like, how can we make you feel better? How can we make your life better? So now it's like how I'm helping these CEOs become better leaders inside and outside of their homes. And we're doing that by changing them, but then we're also changing the things. And it's so similar to fitness, right? And that like, you have to lift weights, you have to do the nutrition stuff, but also you have to like learn to see yourself differently in the mirror.
The air inside our homes can be 2 to 5 times more polluted than the air outside, according to the EPA. In some extreme cases, it's even up to 100 times worse. With us taking around 20,000 breaths each day, mostly indoors, that's a lot of potentially harmful air we're breathing. And when you hear that air pollution contributes to nearly 7 million premature deaths worldwide annually, it really puts things into perspective.
That's why I turned to Air Doctor, an air purifier that's been getting rave reviews from major media outlets like CNN, Money, and ABC. This powerful device filters out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants from the air. Think allergens, pollen, pet dander, dust mites, mold spores, and even bacteria and viruses. It's made a noticeable difference in how I feel at home, especially during March when the pollen and dust levels soar in my area. What used to be a dreaded month has become much more manageable thanks to Air Doctor. Now let's talk about how much time we spend indoors, a whopping 90% on average. That's a lot of exposure to indoor air that, without proper filtration, could be harming our health. But with Air Doctor, I've found peace of mind and noticeably cleaner air in my living space. And here's the best part. There's a special offer just for you. By visiting airdoctorpro.com and using promo code BBB, you can receive up to $300 off air purifiers, plus an exclusive deal for podcast listeners like you, where you'll get a free 3-year warranty on any unit, an $84 value, all backed by a 30-day breathe easy money back guarantee. If it doesn't completely win you over, you can return it for a refund minus shipping. So why not take a step towards cleaner, healthier air in your home? Head over to airdoctorpro.com and use my code BBB. AIRDOCTORPRO.com and use my code BBB. Believe me, your lungs and maybe even your March will thank you for it.
Yeah. Wow. What a cool, like, if you take a step back and look back at that, it's like you built an entire business on what started it all, investing in yourself. And you took yourself through that experience and you're like, this is really working for me. And other people just watched you and said, hey, what do I have to do to get where you are? And then you just took your real life experiences and turned it into a profitable business for yourself, essentially. Why the focus on empowering female founders? Is it because you're female, or what's the main drive to focus in on that?
I mean, I think that females and even moms specifically, like our avatar and who we help is usually aligned with us in some way. And again, like I became a mom, my oldest will be 8 this year. And so I know I had already built my business before he came. And then when he came, I was like, holy shit, we're going to have to do some things different here. Like, this is so different. And with each kid, it's like, okay, how do I still balance being the present mom that I want to be while also making the impact that I want through my work? And I've continued to refine that process. And so in continued refinement of that, I'm like, it is heartbreaking to me to see the 24/7 work all the time, like hustle for your goals, and like how normalized that's been for entrepreneurs. And so I think that the focus is on women entrepreneurs and mothers because I am one and I have that experience and I understand it on such a deep level. And two, because I really believe that women and the way that we think and the way that we operate and what's possible when we continue to rise, I think that we will make the world a better place if we're given the right tools.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I mean, my podcast only features women. For me, it was just like men, I feel as though, have a lot of resources out there for them. And women tend to struggle, especially when you're looking at someone that's like a mom wanting to be an entrepreneur. It's like, how many resources are there really out there? For her, that's relatable from someone who's done it. You know, it's far and few between. So I love that you offer that service.
It's so true. It's interesting because there are a mass quantity of resources, but I also will say that I think that we've been so inundated with shit that doesn't actually help, that like people are so focused, and this may be a little off subject, but I just feel like it's important to say, people are so focused on like scaling their income and their next level of income that they forget, especially in service-based business, that it's about the people and you have to be helping people. And in the coaching industry specifically, I'm so far outside and disconnected from, like, I don't really follow other coaches. Like, I'm just going to do my thing over in my corner of the internet or whatever. But it's just like, we have to focus on creating things that actually help. And so, yes, there are resources, but they fall flat and people are so focused on the wrong things in business. The only reason I've been able to build to where I have and, you know, been able to sustain my business for, you know, 12 years this year is because I deeply care about people. Like, that's the secret.
Yeah. Yeah. I do see some really big, quote unquote, service coaching. Like, let me tell you how to be an entrepreneur. Let me tell you how to do this, do that. It's like, not everyone fits into a box. Every person is different. Every personality is different. Every situation is different. Every business idea can be different and everyone's situation is different. And so, yeah, there's some tools and foundational things, but at the end of the day, it really has to be a very bespoke, like, experience, customized experience, because you have to understand that person just like a therapist does. A therapist is not going to be like, okay, here's your checklist. Here's your 10 videos to watch. Here's how to make the best business plan for your life. And here's your medicine. Let me know how it works out in 6 months. You're going to be cured. Like, it is the same. A therapist doesn't do this. Like, and a coach really shouldn't do that either, because it needs to be tailored to that individual.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I agree 100%.
You talked about finding work-life balance. Me personally, I'm like, there is no such thing. I think, like, you show up. It's like a teeter. What is it? Seesaw or whatever. It's like sometimes you show up really leaned in to one area. And then the areas that you're not, you're like, I just can't give you what you expect or need from me right now because I'm doing this. But I'm curious, like, that work-life balance, I would love your perspective on, like, what does this mean to you? And how does someone maybe not do the seesaw teeter-tottering back and forth between things? It's like, how do you coach people to, I guess, balance their lives better?
It's a great question. And obviously one of my favorite topics to talk about. I think the first, like, the biggest thing that we have to address is that you have to create your own definition of balance. So a lot of people like you feel like work-life balance isn't possible because we're viewing balance as a 50-50. But if we view it as a 50-50 and we view it through a short-term lens, then it's never going to feel attainable. If we step back and, like, I always compare it to, as I do many things, like fitness and intervals, right? And so if you're running intervals, like, you can only run your max speed if you are walking the rest periods, right? Like, if you're jogging the rest periods, you're not going to be hitting your max speed. Or if you're trying to sprint full throttle, which is where a lot of women are stuck, is like in this, like, sprint, burnout, sprint, burnout, sprint, burnout. So I think that's the first thing, is like, you have to get really clear on, like, what does balance actually look like for you? And this applies to a lot of things. We are trying to, as women, create so much in our lives, our goals, what we're working on, how we work, based upon what other people say. But, like, let's retune into ourselves, right? So, like, what does balance look like for you? Does that mean you work a certain amount of hours? To me, it means being present where I am. So it's less about quantities in which place and more about being where I am. And so filtering everything through that means that I have strict boundaries. That means that my work stays in my office. That means that I have a separate work phone that has my work apps on it. That means, you know, things like that. So I think there is always going to be some sort of overlap. There is always going to be moments when we're with our children that we're thinking about our work. There's always going to be moments that we're working that we're thinking about our children. That would be impossible for, and if somebody tells you they can eliminate that, they're lying. But I think we can get better. Right? I do think that we can get better. And I think that a lot of the reason why we lack balance, because that's the other thing we want to look at, is like, if we feel like balance is impossible, first, how are we defining it? And secondly, why do we feel like we lack it? When we take accountability and ownership of, like, well, I'm saying yes to too much, or I'm micromanaging my team, or I'm not delegating effectively, or I'm not putting effective processes and procedures so people have clarity so they can do their best work. Like, there's so many different things that we can look at as far as, like, the personality, the leader themselves, the interworkings of the business that contribute to balance, that there's likely more solutions than people realize, but it's all rooted in fear. We're afraid of missing out. You know, we run on scarcity, we run on reactivity, we run on urgency. And so that fear of failure and that fear of missing out is usually the cause of why we don't have work-life balance.
Yeah, I love what you just said too. And I'm probably going to steal this, is it's not, I like the coin of not work-life balance, work-life boundaries. Because I think that is way, that to me, I'm like, yes. You can set boundaries, you can reset expectations, but I feel like balance is like you're in the circus and you're on a tightrope and you're juggling and you're just trying to keep every, that to me, when I hear balance, I'm like, that's what I envision myself doing is like just trying to keep everything up. Don't mess anything up. Don't fall down. Don't crash. Keep everyone happy. Look at me and you're entertained. And I think like the boundary, work-life boundary is so much more doable where I'm like, yeah, like I am going to set these boundaries because this is where I'm going to stop and end and give and take and all of those. So I really like that.
Yeah, I call it work-life separation. I think it's just one of those things, again, that has been normalized as entrepreneurs is like you're, you know, working on your couch next to your partner. And no, like, no, you don't have to do that. You actually don't have to do that.
My family and I have been navigating our way to a healthier lifestyle with a little help from Green Chef. It's not just another meal kit. It's been a real game changer for us, especially when it's focused on clean eating. Green Chef is all about bringing whole organic food right to our table. They've got everything from keto and paleo to vegan and gluten-free options. But what's really caught my attention is their gut and brain health meal plan. It's packed with dishes that are not only just tasty, but are designed to boost our digestion and brain function. And honestly, seeing the whole family dig into these healthy meals has been pretty rewarding. Getting the kids involved in meal prep has never been easier thanks to Green Chef's straightforward recipes. It's turned cooking from a chore into quality family time, and we're all learning a thing or two about nutrition along the way. And here's the scoop for all of you. Green Chef is now teamed up with HelloFresh, broadening the variety of meals you can choose from. I've been loving the flexibility to switch between the two, depending on what mood we're in. Here's a deal for all of my listeners. Use my code 60BBB at greenchef.com/60BBB, and you'll get a sweet 60% off your first box plus 20% off the next 2 months. Go to greenchef.com/60BBB and use my code 60BBB. So if you're looking to shake up your meal routine and bring some wholesome, delicious food into your life, Green Chef might be the way to go.
It's like we don't have to be martyrs in entrepreneurship.
Oh, yes.
I do follow, and obviously in my circle, a lot of entrepreneurs, and there's this woman and she's younger and I was absolutely her. I'm like, I had a baby and I'm working a company, $1 million company, and I'm breastfeeding the baby and building something at 2 a.m. And I was like, why? I look back at me, I'm like, what a martyr, you know? Like, Brianna, you are just this martyr. You know, everything is your problem. You have to do everything. And because you thought that's what entrepreneurship was. And I look back at it now and I'm like, man, entrepreneurship is finding my who's. Like, who's going to do this? Who's going to do that? Who's going to do this? Not necessarily me taking everything on and working until 4 a.m. while I've got 4 kids and one's like throwing up and me taking out my laptop and working. It's like, no, who are my people that I'm going to oversee to help me get my business to where I need it to be? Like, to me, that's entrepreneurship, not this toxic, like, entrepreneurs just work all the time and have no life and look at me. And I'm like, Nah, I'm good.
No. And it's like you said, like they're doing that to themselves. And that's where I really think it's so important because we have this really great opportunity as mothers and as business owners where we have like two lanes in which we are the example. And that's where it's like, if there's anything that you can do to create what I call healthy pressure, let that be it. Let leading by example be the reminder of like, there are eyes in all directions. And like, I'm showing my children right now with my husband, I'm showing them what love looks like. In my business, I'm showing them what work looks like. And so that to me is always a reminder of like, when you want to answer one more email or when you want to work another hour, it's like, you are the owner of this business and you're showing them that like you can't have fun until all your work's done, which is like such an old school way of thinking, right? Like we don't have to carry those things on.
It's really funny you say that because last night I procrastinated and I had to get this piece of content thing done for a client. And it was like 9 p.m. and I'm sitting in my bed and I'm working. My kids are already in bed and my daughter comes over and she's like, what are you doing? Because I'm never in my bed working. You know, she's so offended by this. And she's like, what are you doing? And I was like, well, I procrastinated and I have to get this work done. And I would like to go to bed by 10:30. So I need you to go back in bed. She's like, Mom, just like ask that robot, like prompt that robot to do it for you. Because I use ChatGPT for like everything.
Yeah.
She's like, can't your robot do it for you?
That's hilarious.
But I love that, you know, one, you're so offended that I'm in my bed working during bedtime. And two, I love that you're like, why are you even doing that? Like, just get the robot to do it for
you. Yes.
Yes. It goes to the point where I would probably be really sad if she came inside and was like, oh, are you working late again tonight? You know, like think about the two different views of that. Like if she had come in, and I'm sure a lot of kids think this is like, oh, you're working late again. Oh, you know, you just work all the time. The little eyes and ears, they see and hear everything. And their interpretations is something that we don't control. They control it, you know? It's really fascinating.
And they repeat our behaviors, not so much our words.
So true. Is that a reason why you like to work with young adults? Is because they're still malleable in their impressions and what you can do? Or do you just feel like if someone maybe invested in you a little bit, it would have been easier?
The way that my heart works is there is my business is about creating change with women leaders and mothers, right? And being able to give them back their quality of life. And there's this other side of my heart that totally is like, I can fulfill and maybe be who I didn't have. And so I've gotten some unique opportunities to work. We have a great program here called Teen Court. It's like a second chance program for teens. And so I've gotten an opportunity. I've worked with, you know, groups of girls in there, spoken to all the young boys and girls. And then I also got an opportunity to go back into the jail that I was last arrested at and talk to the women that are in the recovery pod in there. So not young adults, but there's just this, like I said at the beginning of this, I just don't believe that we go through anything. Like everything is for a reason. It's like, yes, I have all of this, you know, knowledge in business and psychology and our potential and who we are as people and, you know, creating change, but also I can't say no to possibly being that person for somebody who's struggling.
Yeah, I can totally see that. It's like, maybe this is getting way too deep into it, but there is a healing process that comes from your own wounds when you're able to help someone heal their own wounds that someone couldn't help you heal, that you had to do it yourself. And you do get something out of offering a service and being an inspiration to someone when you like look back and you're like, I was you and look at me now. There's something very rewarding about that for them and you. So I love that you do that.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of like, especially when we're talking about teenagers, it's such a formative time. And I think for teenagers, they have a lot of people that are in an authority position, right? That are like, hey, don't do this. Like their parents, their teachers, you know. But I think when I'm talking to young adults, I come at them as like more their peer, which is very similar to how I coach. That's different. There's not a hierarchy, right? So when I'm talking to these young adults, I'm like, hey, I was you. When I'm talking to my clients, like I'm next to you. I'm not ahead of you. I'm not saying, you know, follow my millionaire roadmap or whatever. You know, I am saying, hey, I see you. I'm in this with you. This is what I think. What do you think? Like, it's a collaborative. That's why my coaching is actually called a private partnership. So I think that there is just being that person for somebody, whether that's a young adult or a woman in her business, is so important to me. You know, it's just to have somebody that you trust, that you know has your best interests at heart, it's life-changing.
Yeah. And then what's the next couple of years look like for you? What's something that you want to do next or expand into?
It's such a great question because I'm such a in the right now thinker. You know, when it comes to actual goal setting for me, I don't go too far in the future. My goals are more oriented around processes, habits, things that I want to feel. So I think for me, really, if we're talking about goals and expansion and my own evolution, I think it's a continuation of doing what I've always done. And I think now that my youngest is 2. And so now that she's 2, I know that we want to do more traveling. We already do quite a bit of that. But yeah, I'm such an experienced person. We're going to Disney next week. We haven't been since before COVID. My husband and I are going to Mexico next month. So I'm here to live and live a really good, rich life and help other people do the same.
I love that. And I always ask this on all my podcasts is what's one piece of advice that you would give our listeners from today's episode?
It's always so hard for me to narrow it down into one thing when people ask me this. I'm like, condense your paragraphs, Kelsey. I think the thing that always rings true is step out of what you're experiencing and make sure that you get a overview and a bird's eye view to make decisions. Because a lot of times, especially as women in business, we make decisions that are reactive. And truly, if we want to live a life that feels fulfilling, and if we want our businesses to be aligned with our personal values, we need to make sure that we're stepping out of being in the shit and being in the busyness. And so making space and making sure that you have your business set up to support space is very, very important.
And where can people find you if they want to continue the conversation, have questions, or just want to follow?
Best place to find me would probably be Instagram. I'm most active there, but I'm on all the platforms. So search my name. Good luck spelling it. Check the show notes for that, I'm sure. And then you can check out all my services and offerings. I serve a pretty limited amount of people. I'm a quality over quantity based business. And so you can see my private partnership. And then I also do VIP days with clients.
Well, awesome. Well, thank you so much for being with us today. Really appreciated the conversation.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
As always, thank you for listening. Check us out on Instagram at @badassbasicbitch. And thank you to Saw and Sign, our production studio. We'll see you next week.